Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Never been anyone like you, God. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. Oh, my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived Lord, unto me.
If you're watching this online, we love you. We want to connect more to you. So if you would let us know who you are, right? Send us a message and just let us know, hey, we're tuning in. That way we know who we're reaching and how we can pray for you and we can just remember you. So please do that. We are going to be talking about the armor of God. I was listening to a pastor talk about this incident that he had selling his motorcycle. Anybody ever use Facebook Marketplace to sell anything? Sometimes it gets a little sketchy on there. Sometimes people are just trying to scam you and do things, you know, on you. Well, this guy had somebody reach out about his motorcycle, and this guy was aggressive. This guy was pushy. This guy was swearing at him. This guy wanted to meet him late at night, like at midnight, to pick up the bike. And everything about this situation just felt off. So the pastor just started to ignore this conversation. So he ignored it. The conversation seemed to end, and he was going out with his wife on a date that night. So they left. They left their kids at home. Their kids were old enough to be left at home. And as soon as they got to the restaurant, though, he got another message from this guy. And the guy said, hey, I'm at your house. Where's the bike? Immediately, he's kind of freaking out about that. And so he starts to pray, and he starts to pray for protection, right, and starts to pray against this situation. And at the moment that he begins to pray, he gets a phone call from his neighbor. And his neighbor's like, hey, do you know there's some guy standing in your yard? Now, what you need to know about this neighbor is one of those people that has all the cameras, always knows what everything's going on in his neighborhood, athletic guy. This guy runs marathons. He runs in Texas. He runs marathons with guns. Apparently, they do that in Texas. You run a little bit, you shoot, you run, you shoot, you run, you shoot. This is the perfect neighbor to have in this type of situation. So the pastor explains to his neighbor exactly what's going on. Hey, I'm kind of freaked out by this guy. And the neighbor goes, don't worry, I'll handle it. He goes, I'll show him the bike. And if he wants it, I'll sell it to him and I'll get his money. And if not, I'll just send him on his way. So he goes, really? Okay, great. So him and his wife are at the restaurant and they start watching the whole thing through their doorbell camera, right? Anybody got one of those? They're watching everything that's going on, and they see this guy, right, and his neighbor talking, and all of a sudden the neighbor, you know, goes out of the picture and then rolls up the bike to the guy. The guy hands him some money, right, and he's taking it, and there's some talking going on, and then all of a sudden something weird happens. The guy, neighbor, takes the bike and rolls it back in there, and this guy just takes off, and the neighbor calls the pastor and is like, did you see that? You know, he assumed that he was watching through that camera, right? And he's like, yeah, what happened there? And he goes, fake bills. He tried to pass off counterfeit money to me. And the guy was like, you know, how did you know that? And he responds, you got to test it. You got to test those bills, right? I just held them up and I could see that they weren't real, right? I got these bills. Look pretty good, right? $10,000 here. Look like $100 bills. Look very good if you look at them closely, except for they have one little word that says copy on them. I got them on Amazon for under 10 bucks. I was going to give you each one of these as a prop, but then I remember Eddie, and I'm like, that would not be a good thing to give you fake bills. Right, I don't know what you would do. What's that? Yeah. They look good until you test them. And that just got me thinking, you know. There are people that call themselves Christians. There are people that come to church. There are people that look good on Sunday. There are people that know everything to say, but the moment their faith gets tested, they realize their faith is fake. We got to be careful, my friends, because there's some heavy things at stake in this, right? Here's the scary part. Here's what we have to realize. You and I have an enemy that hates us. Do you know that? There is a legit beings that hate you, want to see you destroyed, want to see your marriage destroyed, want to see your family destroyed. And if your faith is fake, oh, buddy, right? If your faith is fake, you're going to fall. Bad things are going to happen, right? The Bible calls him by many names, Satan, Lucifer, the devil. I don't know what you call him. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the God of this age, the God of this age. Other translations say the God of this world. And it tells us that he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That's one of the things he does. He's also going after believers, right? The God of this world wants to hurt you. And listen, the God of this world is not afraid of you. God of this world has no fear of you, but he is terrified of your God, right? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. The one who is in you is greater than the God of this world, right? I don't want to send you out of here scared, but I do want you to have a clear understanding. You have an enemy that wants to destroy you. And if you take a stand with a faith that is fake, you're going to be destroyed. You got no chance. Let me give you a picture of what a faith that wasn't legit looks like and what happens in that situation. Acts 19, beginning at verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but who are you?" The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. That's what a counterfeit faith looks like. And some of us in here might have that. They knew and said the right words, right? But they didn't have a real faith. Some of us are trying to fight against spiritual forces with the faith of somebody else, the faith of our parents, right? My mom was a great person, is a great person in the faith, right? It's rock solid faith. But her faith isn't my faith. These sons of Sceva are saying, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," and some of us are saying, "In the name of Jesus whom our parents talk about, our parents serve, our parents walk with," right? And we're getting the clothes beat off of us. You must have your own faith. And it has to be a real faith that you believe, that you trust in, that you stand in, right? That you depend on. Do you know him? Some of us do know him. Some of us do have a real faith. But we keep falling to sin, right? Over and over again, we keep picking up that thing that we shouldn't, that we know better, that we know we shouldn't be touching, right? You can go to church on Sunday morning, go through all the motions, sing the songs, how great our God is, right? Listen to the message, and then, man, Sunday night you fall on your face. And you give the enemy a foothold to climb you and use to rule over you. If that's you, then this message is for you, right? This message is for us. This message tells us how we resist, how we struggle, how we fight, right? And it involves putting on the armor of God. If you learn to do that, you'll be able to stand against the enemy's attacks. Without this, though, that won't happen. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, would you just stand in honor of God's word as we read this? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert. Did you hear that? And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, let us realize today that there is a spiritual battle going on. We're in it, Lord. A battle for our families. Father, help us to come to that realization. Help us to be a people that put on the full armor of God, Lord. We ask this in your mighty name. Thank you. Amen. You can be seated. Paul, when he's writing this, he's been arrested. He's been chained to Roman soldiers off and on, right? We assume that's where he gets this inspiration from. He starts off verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not be strong, right? It's be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is probably one of the most important parts of these verses. When I was taught about the armor of God, I got the impression that these were things that I put on and then I went into battle. I was to go and fight, bring the fight to the enemy. That's what I kind of thought. And I've heard people and I've heard pastors talk about giving the devil a black eye. To me, that's borderline prideful. And I want us to be careful of that. Because the word doesn't call us to go after him. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. The enemy comes to you. The enemy is looking for you. The next verse says, resist him. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. That's what we're called to do. The enemy is going to come after you. There will be a struggle. There will be a fight, right? But we can be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. He gives us the armor, right? The armor is meant for us to help us withstand the attacks that are coming against us. We do have an offensive weapon, and that is the word of God, right? Too many Christians, though, don't have the armor on. And you're getting beat naked. And we're falling. Because we're trying to stand on our own power. We're trying to stand in our own strength, right? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is about a position. This is where we stand. This is how we stand. We need to be in the Lord. We need to be walking in the Lord. We need to be keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, right? That's why the enemy tries to do everything he can to get you out of your quiet time. I'm too tired. Don't feel like it. Got a lot of stuff to do. I'll read my Bible later, right? That's why the enemy fights so hard to get you from coming to church. Don't feel like it. Too tired, right? I'm just going to skip this day. He wants to get you alone so he can pick you off. He wants to sow seeds of division in the church. How many times does somebody call me or text me and they're mad about somebody? And you know what I tell them? Remember, you and I have an enemy that wants to divide us. Wants you to quit coming. Because that's our natural response, right? When somebody messes with us, you know what? I'm just not going to come anymore. We want, that's the scheme of the enemy. And you got to recognize it. And you got to realize there is an enemy coming after me, right? Wants to sow seeds of disunity with me and my brothers and sisters. But we're going to let grace cover all that, right? Sheep get lost from the pack, and they become easy targets for predators. The enemy's schemes, the enemy's system is to get you by yourself. And that's why it's so important that when somebody does go by themselves, we go after them. Right? When God lays somebody on our hearts and our minds, go after them. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So we have another thing to do. After we depend on the Lord for strength, right, we need to put on the armor. We have to be deliberate about using this armor, these devices. You get saved, you become a child of God, you aren't naturally wearing this armor. You have flesh, and you have to make a choice to put this on. That's the call, right? Put it on, assuming you don't have it on. And not just one or two things, you got to put on the full armor of God. That just stuck out to me this time reading through this passage. I've read through this many times, but put on the full armor. You can't just choose a couple pieces and ignore the rest. Only with every piece on, right, can you take a stand against the enemy's schemes. Why is the full armor necessary? Well, if it was just an attack, right, you could probably get away with just one of the pieces of armor. If it's just the arrows coming at you, you probably could get away with just, you know, that shield of faith. But it's a scheme. It's a coordinated plan of attack against you. You've experienced this, right? Right? You decide, you know what? I'm going to give this money to the church. And what immediately happens? Your hours get cut. Your kid breaks his leg. And you got to take him to the emergency room. Right? Or you lose your job or something like that. It's like all these things hit at once. It's coordinated. It's a scheme. It's multiple things coming at you. You need to have on all the armor, right? Because the attacks are going to come from different places, different weapons, all coordinated though. If you only have on certain pieces of armor, you're going to take shots. You're going to take damage, right? Thank God though, he gives us a full set of armor available to us so that we can stand, right? We don't have to cower behind something. We can stand, we can hold firm, we don't have to run, we don't have to give ground. We just got to stand and allow Christ to fight for us. He'll win the victory. He's already won the victory, right? God appointed a Savior who would crush the head of the snake, right? Would crush our enemy. God gave all authority to Jesus on this earth, right? The God of this world no longer has the authority. It's been taken from him. There's a stronger man in here. And we're in him, and he's in us. James, I'm in a battle with porn. Good news. You don't have to win that war. That war has already been won. You have to resist it with your power? No. With the power of God. Right? You just have to stand. The God of the universe fights for you. You just can't give him a foothold. Stand. Put on the whole armor. Not some of it. Put on the full armor so that you can stand. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Evil is multidimensional, right? But notice who our battle isn't against. The real battle isn't against the things that we can see. It's not even really against people, right? I know you think the enemy is that Democrat. I know you think the enemy is that Republican, right? I know you think the enemy is that Jew, that Palestinian, that person, right? I know you think the enemy is that man who dresses up in women's clothes and competes. I would never condone that. I will speak out against that because it's not right. It's not in line with God's word, right? But I know the guy dressed up in a woman's outfit is not the real enemy. There is an enemy behind that. There is an enemy speaking lies into that man's life. I know that that woman who dresses like a man is not the enemy. I mean, why do we think that the woman who's been sexually abused and now dresses like a man in order to feel safe so she doesn't get hurt again, why do we think she's the enemy? Why are we holding the signs against her? Right? She's not the enemy. Person trapped in addiction, not the enemy. There is an enemy, but it's not them. We need to speak truth, absolutely. Somebody wanted to know, where does this church stand? Do we lean left or right? Hopefully, we stand on the word of God. Hopefully, we don't lean, right? We speak truth, but we do it with a whole lot of grace. We come up alongside of people, put our arm around side of people and say, hey, I'm concerned about the direction you're heading. This way leads to death. This way leads to destruction. I know that because I was on that path, right? But I encountered the one who set me free. He flipped my life upside down. I was headed this way, right, to destruction. And I met this Jesus who died for me so that I could be set free. And he said, follow me. That's what we're going to be celebrating today, right? That decision when we say yes, that's when we should be baptized, when we decide to follow Jesus Christ. We got to quit treating people like they're our enemies. We got to come alongside them. Speak truth, absolutely. We don't hold back truth, right? But we know there's an enemy that wants to blind them. That's what we read about in the beginning. The enemy has blinded them. They are blind to the truth. But hopefully we can speak the truth into their lives, right? Hopefully we can tell them about a God of the universe who cares about them and has sent us to them with the good news. Hopefully we can testify to what God has done in our lives, right? He set me free. I don't know about you. He died for me so that I could be born again. He died for me so that I could have a new life, right? I got some labels on me from my past. Some scarlet letters. But I'm a new creation. Right? I'm grateful that his mercies are new every morning. I want to share that with somebody. Lord, give me an opportunity, right? Who's the real enemy? Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Make no mistake, there is a spiritual battle going on, right? The God of this world, all authority has been taken from him, but he's trying to do as much damage as he can before the end. He may use people to do horrible things, right? He may use them, but the real enemy is him, is these unseeing powers pulling strings, right? A third of the angels fell. They're the ones behind these things. And they hate you simply because God loves you, right? They have no path back to God. You've sinned, and you have a path back to God. And so they hate you for that. They want to see you destroyed because of that, right? They can't touch God, so the only thing that they can do is touch the people that God loves. So they're coming after you. So they'll strategize with each other and try to work and try to scheme and work through people, work through governments. They surely work through governments, right? Through nations to hurt you because they want to see you destroyed. They want you wiped out. Some people don't believe in spiritual forces. I get that because you can't see them, right? I have never seen a spiritual being, but I felt them. I've been visited by them. I went through a season night after night where this spirit of dread would just come over me. The spirit of anxiety night after night would visit me, right? I know that was an attack from the spiritual realm. Friday, I read that more than 70 people, including women, children, and the elderly, were tied up and with their hands behind their backs, and they had their heads chopped off with machetes in a church in the Congo of Africa. People were kidnapped by Islamists, right, and found in that church dead, 70. It's tempting to want to put all our hate towards those followers of Islam, but make no mistake, there's a spiritual enemy that's behind this. These same forces, ladies, tell you to cut yourself, right? Cut yourself so you can feel something. They want you to hurt yourself. They want to see you on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning after binge drinking on a Friday night, hugging a toilet and puking in that toilet, right? They want you to be there. They want you to starve yourself. They want you to look in the mirror and hate yourself, right? They want you to kill yourself. You don't think there's demonic forces behind suicide? By golly, there is. Right? All of this is like worship to them. You cut yourself, you're giving them worship. They receive it, right? They receive it as worship. There's a battle going on. You are being attacked or you will be attacked. Make no mistake. But God gives us everything that we need to stand. Amen? God gives us the armor, His armor, right? To resist those attacks. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God. Not a couple parts of the armor, not a couple pieces, right? No, put the full armor on so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Put on the full armor. We're going to be going through that armor and what that means next in the next weeks, right? We need to understand that this armor is really a symbol of the benefits and privileges of the gospel. That's what it relates to. The armor is a symbol of what we have available to us, and we need to stand on, right? Do you worry? Do you worry? Yeah, I worry. Should I worry? Well, if He is in me and I am in Him and He promises to work together all things for my good, should I worry? I guess I shouldn't. But do I have the faith to stand on that? To stand in that, right? That's the question. Luke 8, Jesus and His disciples are in a boat. Verses 23, it says this, as they sailed, He fell asleep. That's Jesus, He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Hey, Jesus, wake up, right? We're going to die. Don't you care? What does He do? Gets up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. And then He asked this question. Where is your faith? Where is it? Where is your faith? Notice He doesn't say, oh, you poor guys, right? You need to have more faith. No, He asks, where is it? Right? Hey, you've seen what I've done in the past. You've seen the power that I have. You've heard my promises. You know that no word that I've spoken has ever not come to be, right? So where is your faith? Why aren't you standing on it? Why aren't you depending on it? Right? Romans 6, Paul says, you have all these privileges and benefits, the power of Christ. Are you using this? Are you acting like these things are true? You're no longer a slave to sin, but you're still acting like one. You've been set free, but you're still acting like you're a slave. Where is your faith? Where is your belief to stand on? Put on the full armor, for goodness sake. To put it on means to take the privileges of the gospel, of righteousness. It's right there in front of us, right? Put it on. Stand in it. Stand in Him. When you're younger in the faith, you're going to go through tough times, right? Sit with an older person of the faith. Go ahead and talk to them. You're probably going to be all over the place. You're probably going to be frantic. You're probably going to say, my life has fallen apart. My life is going south really fast, right? And that mature Christian is probably going to listen for a while. They're going to be sympathetic, but then they're going to come to a point where they just stop you. And they're going to start asking you some questions. Do you believe this? Well, yeah, I guess I do. Do you know what Jesus said? How He said this, right? Yeah, I do. Do you know that the Word of God promises this, right? And you're going to be like, yeah. And then they're going to look at you and they're going to say, well, what's the problem? Well, I don't know, right? You're right. You know what that mature Christian is doing, right? They have the armor of God on. And they're trying to get you to put yours on. And stand in the power of God, right? Put it on. Take the benefits of salvation. Take the benefits of righteousness, the gospel of peace, right? Real truth. Boy, if there is ever a time in our world that when we needed real truth, right? Stand in the power of God. Your faith has to be real. And you have to use it. You have to stand in it, right? It can't be counterfeit. It can't just look good but be totally useless. It has to be real. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Question, when do you put on the armor? You're supposed to put on the full armor before the battle comes, right? You should have it on before the day of evil, that day arrives. Not put it on when the battle starts. If the arrows are already flying, if the enemy's already breached the wall, right, and the swords are coming at you, that's not the time to try to be putting on the armor of God. You can't say, hold on a minute, give me a minute to slip into something more appropriate, right? We better have it on. It's too late. It's too late at that point. Do you hear that? Paul uses this analogy for a reason, because if he used some other analogy, like when you slip up in another area, you can lose things like money, right? But Paul uses this military analogy because if you slip up with the armor, you could be destroyed. You could be killed. You could be seriously wounded, right? A marriage could be ended. A relationship may be deeply wounded. People can literally die. Warfare is hell. We watch movies and it's glorified, right? But if you fought in Vietnam, I've heard the stories. If you've fought in a world war, if you stormed the beaches on D-Day, it's just death, right? All around you. Do you realize the peril you're in? Do you realize the danger that your family are in? Do you realize what's coming against your kids, dads? There's an enemy that hates your kids and wants to take them out. And we're going around without armor on. Put it on. Put it on. Right now, if you're lazy with the Word of God, right? If you aren't diligent to walk in the ways of Christ, It's going to be like wading into a war without any armor, without any weapons. It's crazy. It's stupid. You're at a minimum going to get hurt. And you, dads, might be leading your family into that war without any armor. Sometimes I feel like I'm harping on people. Sometimes I feel like I'm harping on you, on my kids, on some people in my accountability groups. Hey, did you have your quiet time? Hey, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Sometimes I'm kind of leery to ask that question. Because I'm like, man, just keep asking that question, right? But then I remember what's at stake. I believe that there's a spiritual war going on. I believe that our families are in jeopardy. I believe they're coming after my kids. They're coming after my marriage. They're coming after my brothers and sisters. Put on the armor, church. Men, you lead. Put on the armor. You might be able to take some shots that are meant for your family if you got the armor on. The enemy's coming after you first. That's how the way it is in war, right? Natural war, spiritual war. The enemy comes after the leaders, and you're called to be the leader, right? Well, Jesus is the leader. You're called to follow, though, in a position of leadership. If the dad falls, kids are going to fall. Most times. I don't care how good the mom is. That's what statistics tell us. If dad falls, we're in trouble. If dad's solid, we're doing good. Right? The enemy has always looked to take out leaders. Why do you think so many pastors fall? Don't we hear about it time after time again where this pastor, something comes out or something happens, right? Because the enemy is going after leaders. My friends, I've seen people. I've met with people facing death. And I've seen people face it with a lot of peace. I've seen people face it with an almost joy that I can't fathom, that I can't get, but I know beyond a shadow of doubt it comes because they've got the full armor on. On the other side of that is I've seen people that have found out they're going to die and there is no peace. They are frantic, right? And I meet with them. And these are people who call themselves Christians. These are people who have been in the church all their life and they're 80 years old, right? And they're freaking out. And I meet with them. And what I try to do is put on the armor. But it's almost too late at that point. It's never too late for somebody to find Christ. But I rarely see these people find peace because I don't think they really put the armor on. There's people in here today. You have no time in the Word of God. You have no time in prayer. Maybe you say a prayer right before you eat, right? But you're going about it without the armor. And I pray you make a decision to change that. There's Bibles in the back, free Bibles. Right? There's reading plans in the back. Take them. Steal them all. Y'all can be in prayer. You can watch the sermon series that we just did on prayer. You can be in an accountability group. That's what's available to you. Guess how many people have signed up for it? None. But we haven't had church, so we got a good reason. Sign up for it. Grab a brother. Grab a sister. Right? Grab somebody that you know that you respect. And create this group where you're going to text each other every day and tell each other, hey, I just read this. I had my quiet time. I'm praying for you, right? A church, a group that you can lean on, find that. Teens, Find that group, man. That would be amazing for you to have that close group of brothers and sisters to lean on. Because you might not have fully your armor on, but you might be standing next to a couple people that do, right? And they can hold you up. They can help you while you put yours on. And you can do the same for them. Please put your armor on now. Please make sure it's the armor of God. Because there's other armor out there, man-made armor, man-made wisdom, and that don't work at all against the spiritual. I know, I tried. Try to quit porn with man-made armor. Man-made armor says, try harder. You just got to try harder. That don't work. Man-made wisdom, man-made armor says, you just got to have the willpower, right? That don't work. No. Man-made armor is useless against the spiritual. It will not work. Put on the armor of God. Some of you are trying harder to stand. You're trying harder. You want to stand, but you're trying with man-made wisdom, right? You gotta put on there. Hey, listen. It's not like it's gonna flip the switch all the time when you start putting it on. Armor is a little uncomfortable. You start reading your Bible, you might be like reading Deuteronomy, and you're like, what in the world am I reading, right? But keep going with the armor on. It might be uncomfortable. It might take some getting used to. But the longer that you put it on, right, the longer that you have it on, the more you'll see victory. You battling something? Put on the armor of God every day. And let it be at the start of your day. Get up early. Get up half an hour early. Be in the Word of God. Be praying, right? Let that be how you face the day. That's how you find victory. Put on the full armor so you can stand. If you do that, man, you'll get to a place that no matter what comes your way, as long as you got that armor on that day, you'll be good to go. Will you put it on? What is the armor? We'll hit that in the next weeks, right? We'll go through all of that. We'll go through every piece. Would you do me a favor? Invite somebody to come out to it. Would you do me a favor? Go on YouTube and share this video with somebody that wasn't here today. Because they got to have the base for it. They got to have the start for it, right? We have to be putting on the full armor. Too many of us are falling. We keep falling when we should be standing, right? There'll be every excuse that comes in your way to miss church, to miss your quiet time, but you got to recognize that's a scheme of the enemy. That's coming attack, and you have to stand, right? Please think about getting into an accountability group. If you don't know anybody in here, we'll find you some. There's a separate sheet. You grab a couple people, 2, 3, 4 people at the most. You sign your names up on that sheet, right? Otherwise, if you don't know anybody, you sign up the other sheet, and we'll find you somebody. Please think about doing that, though. All right? Stand with me. You need a battle buddy. You need somebody to stand next to you. You need a church that'll stand next to you. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you. If you do have a church, go get to your church, right? We're not stealing. We're not after that. But we're here to stand with you. Dads, can I just end with you? He's coming at you first. He's coming at you first. You have to put on the armor. You have to. Your family will follow you. I guarantee you it. They'll follow you. Moms, you can do it. You know, if dad's not there, you can do it. My mom did that. My dad was out of the picture, right? But it just works better if dads do it. So I want to pray for you dads this morning, that you'll put on the armor, that you'll stand, right? Can I do that for you? Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what is available to us if we'd only put it on. Father, would you put a burning desire in the minds and the hearts of every dad in here, every grandpa, every dad, to put on the armor, to take their faith seriously. Lord, would you give us an image of what the enemy is doing, Lord? We can see it all around us in the news, how this world's going to hell. Lord, would you put the responsibility on us for our marriages, for our kids, for our grandkids, Lord? Would you help us to make that decision today and every day? I'm going to be in the Word of God. I'm going to be praying for my family. I'm going to be praying protection over them. And I'm going to stand, not in my own strength, not in my own macho, not in my own bravo, but I'm going to stand with your help and in your power. Lord, would you enable that in every household that's represented here today? Father, if there's some men that aren't in here that are in our families, Lord, would you help us to reach out to those men and send them this message? Lord, would you call them to be the spiritual heads of these families? Would you name it? Father, there's some men that are not in the picture, though. Lord, would you be with the moms? I know you can do it. Lord, would you help the moms to stand in that gap, to be in prayer, to pray for their kids, Lord? Lord, you gave me a mom that did exactly that. I know you can do it. Father, I pray that you'd give that mom strength. She's trying to do it on her own. She's trying to do it without any help. Lord, would you just encourage her? Would you give her a strength beyond anything that she's known, Lord? Would you stand next to her? Would you help her to feel your presence? Lord, would you enable this church to stand next to her and help her out in any way that we can? Would you enable some guys in here maybe to fill the gap in and help out, Lord? Would you call us to do that? Lord, we're falling too much, Father. Let our faith be real. Let us think about that question. Where is your faith? Don't let us have a counterfeit one, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.